And he had all this money and pockets full of change. And they was going to go to the grocery store. So he got a paper sack. And he rolled up those bills and put a rubber band around them. And says, Murderwork, put this up till we get back from the grocery store. And my mother was the worst in the world about picking crazy places to hide stuff. She hid it in the garbage can. Well, they went to the grocery store. Now, this was on a Saturday night. They came back and everything. Well, Daddy was the first one to get up the next morning. He always was the first one to get up. And we had a place out in my backyard that he burned trash. Well, he took that garbage can out there. You know, it had a lot of paper in it and everything. From the kitchen and it. And he dumped it there and set fire to it. Well, it burned out there all day, nearly. Trash. What we raked up in the yard. Back then, people wouldn't have grass in the yard. I mean, if the spirit of grass come up, you pulled it up. We had swish brooms that we'd sweep the leaves, and that's where we burned the leaves and everything. Well, Sunday night, Daddy says, Myrtle, where'd you put that money that I gave you last night to put up when we was going to the store? She had to think a minute. Oh, I put it in the garbage pail. Dad said, what? I said, you mean you put it in the garbage pail? She said, yeah. He said, well, good gracious. He caught, when he'd get mad, he'd call her Myrtle. Myrtle, you know better than that. I said, I burned that trash this morning. Doggone, he got flashlights and we went out there. And those roll of bills, if they hadn't been rolled up with a tight with that rubber band on, they had burnt like half of it. And the coins was all blackened in there. And we, 2 or 3 hours, we was out there picking up coins and everything, putting, he took them in the house and washing them off. And he took those rolls of bills to the bank. And it had serial numbers on them, and they replaced it for him. But he said, Myrtle, you know better than that. It is my God.
You know, when they
lived out here in books and magazines.
That's what Mother said, that she used to hide money in magazines.
Yeah.
Was it because of maybe the Depression? Is that how she always done?
Yeah.
To hide every bit of money?
She kept money here, but she, well, like the day that she had her stroke, but she had $180 in her pocket.
Well, she had a good bit of money in a little sack. Under her jam.
I don't know about that.
She had a little sack that she had tied on a, something that went around her neck kind under her jam.
Kind of like a purse that she wore like a necklace.
Yep. But I had Mother figured out. She'd give me a quarter to go to the store to buy some eggs or milk or loaf of bread or whatever. And I'd come back, and the cabinet, you know, we used jars and a flour and all the sitting up there and everything. I'd put that change up there and put it under one of the, like the sugar or the flour or something. And if Mother'd say, next day or two, she'd say, Bill, where's the change from that money you went to throw it up? I said, it's in there, where? Here it is, and I'd move that sack and get it for him. But she never said nothing about it. About a week later, then I'd get that money, and I hadn't some change. And another way I used to do that, after Daddy got his car, he'd be out collecting everything. He had change in his pocket, you know, and riding in the car. Someone would come out and go down behind the seat. I'd get that seat out and find change under it. But you could go to the picture show, silent movies. And a nickel or something like that, a dime.
Did your parents ever go out, just the two of them?
Yeah.
Did they?
They went out a lot, yeah. And they was get that fireman and his wife that lived next door to them, Mr. and Miss Mabry. They'd go to wrestling matches. And Daddy said the only reason he went was to watch Miss Mabry. He said that woman would stand up and say, kill him, throw him out of the ring. He said she'd get so all enthused over it, and he said, I'd just sit there and laugh at her. He said, I wouldn't watch the wrestling matches, but they'd go and went to wrestling matches.
Did they go to the movies too? Go out to the movies?
Yeah, they went to movies at times. I remember going, I was young, that they show a picture on the screen and show them talking, and then down at the bottom would be the writing of what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be able to read the writing, I just watched the movie part. I remember when the first talking picture show came to Pratt.
Can you remember any more stories about when they were maybe courting, when he was courting her, or I know you said that about the peanut passing notes.
That's the best one that I remember, was about the peanut, him throwing that peanut with a note in it in their lap. But on campus and school, they weren't allowed to talk to one another. But
did they live in, like, dormitories?
Mother lived at her home.
At home, but he lived, like,
yeah,
in a dorm?
He lived in a dormitory or boarded with somebody or something, I forget. But she lived at her home. And I don't remember too much about them court and how long they went together. I don't even remember when they married. I mean, you know, they're saying what year they married.
I don't know either. That's one thing we never found was a marriage.
Dr. Junior was born in 1918, and I don't know how long they had been married when Dr. Junior was born. But I remember telling something on Dr. Junior, and it must have. They lived on Cherry Street.
When he was born.
When Dr. Junior was born. Mm-hmm. And this is before I was born, and he must have been 2 or 2.5 or 3 years old. He was talking, and the lady next door, that lived next door, Mrs. Foot Skeens, she was a good friend of ours. You know, after Duck and I were grown, she used to tell us things that happened. They lived next door to him. Mm-hmm. But Mother had some pie left or something. And this colored guy came up to the back steps, and Mother gave him that pan that the pie was left in and a spoon, and Dr. Junior was sitting on the steps. But when he ate all the pie out, he was scraping the pan, and they heard Dr. Junior say, "Moses, don't eat the pan." You remember him telling us about that? And Miss King, Christine would tell us about that. But I don't know what Daddy was doing then. But then we moved up Mawford's Bend, because I was born up Mawford's Bend.
Where was Catherine born?
She must have been born right there. So when we moved to Mobile, I was 5 years old. The captain had to have been 3.
Yeah.
So Granddaddy was born, and they lived in Gadsden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Catherine was born up here in Alfred's Bend.
And they moved to Alfred's Bend.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Mobile.
And then to Mobile.
Okay. Okay. I guess to kind of sum it up, can you remember any advice maybe that your mother gave you?
Any what?
Advice.
She gave me advice on everything.
You remember anything that really just sticks out in your mind?
Well, I mostly about eating. Like what fork to pick up to eat your salad and what spoon and what side of the plate to keep on each side of your plate.
Mm-hmm.
She was very thorough in something like that. And she made it understood that us kids had to know it too.
How about any advice that your dad probably gave you?
Do what?
How about any advice that your father might have given you?
Football.
That was his true love, was football.
Football. Mm-hmm.
And I know it must have hurt him when I didn't go on to college. But I knew, even when I was in high school, I didn't make too good of grades. I didn't study. All I thought about was girls and football. I got A in one subject all the way through high school.
B?
In conduct.
Conduct.
Teacher'd make us sit up in front of the room.
But your mother makes sure of that.
That's the only subject I made A all the way through, too. But, four of us boys, Sally Marsh, Joel Gadsway, Don Robertson, and myself. We all dropped the subject in our senior year to where we wouldn't graduate. We'd have to come back to Christmas of the next year where we'd play another year of football. And we finished at Christmas the next year. After Christmas, we didn't. And I just had to take one subject.
So it was kind of like semesters?
Instead
of like semesters, instead of like they do now, and they go, they're required to go.
Yeah.
All year.
I'd go to school in the morning, and sometime during the morning I'd have my class. And the rest of the time I'd just sit in the study hall. Or go down in the dressing room. And of course, we went out about 1 o'clock for football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most enjoyable year that I spent in school. But I had those two scholarships, the Howard College and University of Chattanooga. Uncle Tom called Mother, and when he found out, says, if Bill will come up here and go to Chattanooga on his scholarship and pass his studies, says, I'll buy his clothes and give him his spending money. And if he passes his subjects, I'll send him to medical school. He owned that hospital there, and I don't think his kids were born then. Or might have been babies or something. And the reason for that, when Mother and Daddy married, to say Daddy was farming, well, Uncle Tom, his first year of college, he went to the University of Alabama, his first year of college, Daddy had made a good crop, and Daddy loaned him the money to go his first year. His second year in college, Daddy went on a note with him to borrow the money to go on to the second year. And then from then on, Uncle Tom worked his way through. He got a job on the side and worked his way through. And I think that was his way of kind of paying them back, that offer that he gave him. And of course, I didn't go to either college. I ended up getting married. But that hurt Mother because I didn't take time up on that offer. But I knew, Kim, that I wasn't smart enough.
He had no desire to be a doctor.
I never concentrated, studied that.